This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look who showed up to the Ford Center at the Star in Frisco yesterday. Micah Parsons attending the voluntary off-season program. As Brian Schottenheimer said, he expected. Previous 2 years, Micah mostly worked out on his own before OTAs and minicamp. Of course, he's entering the fifth-year option of his rookie deal, still without the monster extension. Good morning, Metroplex. This is your official home of the Dallas Cowboys, in case you did not know, with Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt. And you made me pause and hesitate yesterday when you sent over the message that you thought this was a mistake for both sides.
Well, look, I understand it's not OTAs, it's not minicamp. This is not even a glorified walkthrough. They're in underwear.
What are voluntary workouts, Bobby? What do they do out there for this?
When they go to, this is not even the OTA stuff, which we normally have access to, so we don't even get media access to this. This is basically, it's largely player-led, but they've got, I think there's limited amount of interaction every day they can have with coaches, and it has to be limited to, like, literally, like, meetings on a whiteboard and maybe slight on-field instruction, but it's very narrow. This is mainly a lot of just voluntary, independent work.
So this is more about, like, the end of May when they get to OTAs, but in general, this guy trips, stubs his toe, get him out of the building. Get him out of the building. I don't want him in the building. If I'm the team. I don't. If he gets hurt, you're
why would you not want him in the team if you're in the building if you're the Cowboys?
Well, because if he gets hurt on his own. He gets hurt, you're building. Does that make anything guaranteed? You're gonna have to pay him either way. I want him nowhere near a football field until he signs that contract. I don't want any Sean Lee OTA knock on Corian situation. None of that. Because if he gets hurt, he's out for the year. You're gonna have to sign him into a new contract, or you're not. You have no idea what he's going to be like coming off that injury.
So you don't even want him working out on his own. You want him sitting on his couch or doing
his
podcast.
No, he can work out. I mean, work out.
You know, why would you not want to supervise him working out versus him doing judo?
Well, is he going to do judo?
Well, he did last year.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Sumo wrestling.
Sumo wrestling. That's what I have no problem sumo wrestling. but no, this is more from like an on-the-field standpoint. Like in the weight room, you want to get supervised, whatever. Not a problem with that. I assume a lot of these guys have their own trainers.
This is the exact description of the offseason program, according to the NFL, like what's allowed. Phase one consists of the first 2 weeks of the program with activities limited to meetings, strength and conditioning, and physical rehab only. Phase two consists...
That's what they're in right now. Fine.
Phase two consists of the next 3 weeks of the program, which is on-field workouts, may include individual or group instruction and drills, as well as perfect play drills and drills and plays with offensive players lining up across from offensive players and defensive players lining up across from defensive players, conducted at a walkthrough pace, no live contact or team offense, and then it's OTAs.
Yeah, you got no contact. I'm cool. What you don't want is him to go out there, and he gets hurt, and now you've got to sign him. And you have no idea what he's going to be like when he comes back from that injury, whatever it happens.
I'm giving Micah his props. There's two ways to look at it. There's the player leadership angle, and there's the business agent angle. If I'm the agent, I'm probably not wanting him to show up. Mike Florio has been screaming for 2 years he shouldn't even have shown up last year to put the screws to the Cowboys. Micah had to do this to follow up what he's been talking about since the end of last season. Tank Lawrence is gone. It's my team now. I don't need all the money. I'm willing to take less. I want guys around me. New coordinator, new head coach, new system, new teammates. If you're going to talk about being the new leader, you got to show up to day one, Aaron Rodgers. So as a Cowboy fan, there's no reason for you not to be thrilled and happy about this. And I think Micah had to do it to back up what he's been talking about in terms of locker room presence. David Mulligetta, agent, probably not. But I don't care about all that. I care about the Cowboys and the chemistry.
You want to be around that? You want to be around that?
A C for the training staff.
Yeah, you want to be around that?
I would bet.
Go to a Planet Fitness, get your lifts in.
I would bet David told him to go, is what I would guess. And I don't know that he would normally say that if it was like mini camp or if this was real contact stuff. But I bet David, knowing what the Cowboys are going to approach, like how they're going to approach trying to reduce value in these negotiations, is going to be stuff with where's your maturity, where's your leadership, where are you at in terms of leading by example. And so I would guess, yeah, David's like saying, hey, these are meetings, it's lifting, it's all stuff you need to do. It's stuff you normally do on your own.
Yeah.
You're normally doing these things, you're just on your own. Just go show up to it right now. And while we continue to do this, because you don't want them coming right back and going like very day one, you're not even in there. Because that's what they're going to try to do.
Is this one of Jerry's cards to be played that he mentioned in reference when he's like, I might want to see a few more cards played?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Some were speculating, including Nick Harris, that maybe it was showing up to be the leader, showing up for, you know, some of these extra credit things. And maybe this is a Jerry card and this will pacify and satisfy Jerry so that we can finally maybe get the ink pen out.
Maybe it does. Maybe it does pacify him a little bit. Yeah, again, like this is more like, you know, on field OTA stuff. Stay the hell away. But yeah, it's like this is a good leadership role for Micah to show up there. And I think Bobby's point about the agent saying, hey, you know, just go there. You're going to do it anyway. You'll be doing it on your own. Because a lot of these guys work out on their own anyway. You're going to be working on your own anyway. So why not?
Well, why not would be you're doing the Cowboys a favor by playing along with their program versus creating more pressure on them with negative headlines and sports talk topics and creating it would create some discomfort. Mm-hmm. You could argue you're doing them a favor by showing up and playing nice.
I honestly think they feel like we've caused them enough pressure and discomfort already by getting in the way of those negotiations you thought you had done at a dinner. And we've done enough to sit here and put public pressure on them by clearly making it known that they weren't doing things the right way, and now they have to, and they were salty about it when they were in those league meetings. And so,
well, things haven't been done enough to get a deal done.
No, but I mean, I think that what you would see, typically the clients for David Mulligetta, when they are on the fifth year option and they're up for a new deal, they do not show up. That's generally what they don't do when it comes to OTAs, minicamp, things like that. I don't always know during the voluntary portion, this kind of thing, which doesn't even have media coverage. I don't know how consistently those guys show up. But this is one where if you are considered one of the leaders of a team in any of the 32 clubs across the league, you show up to these kind of things. And so I would imagine this is just about, hey, show up, check a box. You're in town. You live there. Make sure they're not giving us anything that they can go against, and I'll get you your money.
Mike Florio added, in the short term, Parsons' presence plays into the Cowboys' hand. It also makes an eventual training camp holdout more jarring. If Parsons stays for all the offseason practices and doesn't show up when training camp stops, that's what Zeke did in 2019. We'll see if Parsons does the same.
Lamb showed up to the early, this kind of stuff early on last year, and then didn't show up to OTAs or the other stuff.
And Dak showed up to all.
Dak always shows up, yeah. Dak has never missed that kind of stuff.
I also think that, you know, everyone is different. Everyone's going to get different contract advice. It sends a nice little message. Oh my God, Micah Parsons, like his deal is up. Everyone knows he's next to get paid, and he still showed up. Whether it's Deron Bland, whether it's Tyler Smith, whether it's someone down the line, Dak Prescott sends that message all the time when his deal is in flux. So, you know, with all the little side check mark things for leadership and locker room, I give Micah credit.
Well, and I think the idea is also here, I would guess that the counsel that Micah Parsons is getting is you in years where you haven't had a contract, you haven't shown up to this. Like the message you send is by showing up this time. by saying, hey, I'm here, I'm active, let's get this done. Because even when you haven't had a deal that you're negotiating, you usually don't show up to it.
Looks really good for Schottenheimer, too.
Yeah, because Schottenheimer had talked about it at the league meeting. It was very... Mike McCarthy was very upset when Micah Parsons didn't show up to some of this stuff last year and could barely conceal how frustrated he was. It felt like a very intentional thing when Brian Schottenheimer was at those meetings a couple weeks ago and said, he told me he's going to be there, so I think he's going to be there.
Yep.
And now Mike is showing up. It's like, okay, either he was being straight up with Shoddy or Shoddy ended up putting a little bit of pressure on. He told me it, so I'm going to publicly say he told me it.
Jordan Schultz, NFL insider on FS1, talking about this Micah deal still not getting done and how Jerry is still stuck in the 90s.
The Cowboys start their offseason work today, and edge Micah Parsons still hasn't been extended. Dak Prescott was asked about Micah's contract and joked with the media saying that he doesn't have the full answer why Cowboys negotiations take so long, adding that all of his contracts would have been done a lot sooner if he did. Now, Colin, I thought Jerry had a very telling quote at the recent owners meetings. He said, quote, I don't know why, I just can't deal with a player. Also basically said he doesn't know who David Mulugeta is, Parsons' agent. This is why, Colin, the Cowboys have not been relevant since the 1990s. This is not Emmitt Smith. You don't talk and deal with the player like you did three decades ago.
Right.
The agent has been empowered in a way that is significantly different than the 1990s with Aikman and Emmitt and Irvin. And as a result of that, in my opinion, Jerry's still thinking archaically that the right way to handle a Micah Parsons extension is basically to get Micah to acquiesce one-on-one. That's exactly the problem that we're dealing with.
Look, some of the best Jerry stories are El Paso.
Yeah.
I'm going to El Paso on your deal. Like, this is, have you heard of that town in West Texas?
The T.O. napkin.
The napkin. You know, there's, if you ever run into Michael Irvin, ask him to tell the Jerry contract story. It's an epic story, and there's language you can't use on the radio. But
what's your point?
That's where he's at his best at. He can schmooze a player. He can cater to the player's emotions. You can't do that when you're dealing with an agent who's just looking at a spreadsheet.
But is it productive?
Is it productive to
for the negotiation to get completed and done? Jordan Schultz is arguing it's archaic.
It is the way Jerry wants to do it.
Yeah.
It is archaic because the players don't let you do that necessarily anymore. You know, he may want to do it, but at the end of the day, you know, he tries it that way. It doesn't work. And then you roll out to training camp and you sign CeeDee Lamb and you sign Zach Martin, you sign Dak Prescott on the Sunday before the season.
I mean, he's had success getting it done even in the last decade.
Well,
But I mean, he does get stuff done sitting, like he got Zach Martin done by, all right, I'm sitting down, I'm getting involved. I'm sitting down, I'm getting involved has pushed it over the edge before. There have been a few exceptions to that where it just has not happened. Dez told him no. He tried to get up to Dez. Dez told him straight out, he's like, I play football, I don't negotiate things, you talk to my agent. He's like, I know better than to sit across from you at this table and do this. Dak never got involved, refused to do it, and now Micah started to and then had to pull back.
A developing situation right now in the National Football League.
Yep. Speaking of David Mulugeta clients, Ian Rappaport says the Dolphins and 7-time Pro Bowl cornerback Jalen Ramsey are mutually set to explore trade options, and it wouldn't be a surprise if he played elsewhere in 2025. Miami and Ramsey do $25.1 million fully guaranteed this season. Could be parting ways. He followed up and said, while there's no firm deadline on a possible trade, with the NFL draft 9 days away, completing a trade prior to the draft would make sense, if only so Miami can use the pick or picks they would acquire for Ramsey. So Ian Rappaport saying that there's a decent shot that sometime in the next 9 days, Jalen Ramsey gets dealt.
Okay. That immediately makes me think of Tyreek. Like, would Miami be willing to go ahead and punt on this current crop? I can't keep track of Jalen Ramsey extensions. Like, I'm like, didn't he just get paid? What is he unhappy about? What's going on there?
Jalen Ramsey
is no longer straight shutdown. 77 Pro Football Focus grade for whatever that is worth last year.
For a 30-year-old, that's not, I don't think that's terrible from a corner.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, the problem is, I mean, you're going to run into is that, you know, this is that kind of that age where you wonder what he has left.
My mind immediately shuts off and cancels any Jalen Ramsey discussion around here, Bobby.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that he'd be an option here, especially because of the amount of money and his age, because he is, I mean, he'll be 31 in October. But I mean, that's still, he was young when he got into the league. He was 20 his rookie year. So, I mean, this is going to be year 10 coming up here, and he's just going to turn 31 during this year. But, yeah, I'm looking at it. He has signed, it looks like, 3 deals, and then he had another that was reworked. So, I mean, he's made, his career earnings to this point, he's made, it looks like, $130 million.
Oof. Jalen Ramsey going to be playing for someone else other than the Miami Dolphins, according to Ian Rappaport. It happened to the Dallas Stars again, and how did the nosebleeds react to Bobby Bell? We have all the audio next on The Fan.